Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about doctrines that divide. One of those doctrines happens to be the doctrine of tithing. What does the Bible say about tithing? We've been talking about that during the course of this broadcast today. Tithing is conceptualized in the Bible, and that is in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. It's before the law was given. For those who want to argue and debate and have a little diatribe about whether or not it's law or love, there are a lot of folks today that say that they ought not to tithe because that's Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, it originated in the Old Testament. Just like we find salvation, that is faith that God has commanded. Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him as for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. And so we find the theme of the shed blood throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we can't parse it and say we're going to throw away half the Bible because it originated in the Old Testament. But the conflict that many have, Pastor Davis, is that many say that it's Old Testament, it's under the law. And before the news break, Greg was talking about giving and money and how dollars are spent and how people want to spend their money. I'm looking at a little article. It's an illustration that comes out of Tan's book on biblical illustrations, 7,700 illustrations in there from a biblical standpoint. And this is one, says, the story of a dollar. A man put a note on a dollar bill and asked all who spent it to write down what it was spent for. In 2 weeks, it was spent for 5 times for salary, 5 times for cigarettes, 3 times for candy, 3 times for a meal, twice for clothing, twice for haircuts, once for groceries, twice for laundry, once for car repair, once for a magazine, but not one time did it come to the church.
My.
That's a pretty good illustration of where we are today, Pastor Davis, with tithing and giving. Here's an article. I'm going to take a brief moment, then I'm going to ask Greg to jump in and then ask Pastor Davis to respond. The title of this article says, Tithing, an Obedient Response to a Gracious God. And it's about three pages, but I'm going to read 2 long paragraphs. Tithing is the biblical standard for how the child of God manages the resources God has entrusted to them. It is an act of obedience to God. It is designed for good of the believer, for the believer, and destined for the good of the kingdom of God. The Bible says, bring the whole tithe, bring it to the storehouse. He doesn't leave an option here. We are commanded to nothing less, or we're guilty of robbing God. In fact, in the Malachi 3 text, question is, God asked them, will a man rob God? And then he goes on to tell them how. God is interested in your money. God is interested in how you secure it, how you spend it, how you save it, how you share it. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Matthew 6:21. Dr. Adrian Rogers says on one occasion, quote, a faith that hasn't reached your wallet probably hasn't reached your heart, end quote.
Wow.
There's no subject that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about more than money. He honored the widow who gave all she had in the presence of the Pharisees who were only tipping God. He spoke to the unjust steward who was unfaithful with his money and the rich young ruler who was controlled by his money. Their stories has to do with money. That is why their stories are in the scripture. Satan is interested in your money. He desires to keep you in bondage by giving you an ungodly attitude toward money. The Bible says that the one who is not obedient with the tithe is cursed with a curse, end quote. You're also interested in your money. Research shows that the average church giver, church goer, gives less than 2% to his church. You can't even use the word tithe in connection with that amount. When it comes to the tithe, there are several attitudes. One says, it's mine, and I can do with it what I want to. Another says, the tithe belongs to God, and then the rest is mine. Then there's the yet another that says, it all belongs to God, and he's made me a steward over what I have been given. Greg, how do you summarize that thought in relationship to what our listeners need to understand today about tithing?
Well, since this has been broadcast all over Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia, and the region up into Virginia, if you live in the area, by the way, I'm calling from the southern tip of heaven, y'all. I'm up here in Appalachia. I'm up here in the Southwest Territory. I'm up here in the great state of Tennessee. Come visit. But I'll have you know, if you've been in the Jacksonville area for any time, you've seen light blue trucks running around the town and vehicles. Bill Gay, years ago, produced a sticker, big yellow sticker, that said if 10% is enough for God, it's enough for the IRS. That says a lot, folks. And I think of Jesus in those words, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. Folks, if God gives you life and breath and health, guess what? It's all his. It's all his. As a matter of fact, there is a business here in these foothills called It's All His. I'm going, that's a beautiful name. And that ought to be the perspective of every believer today. Lord, you've given me life and health and breath, and you've given me eternal salvation. It's all yours. So the idea of 10%, that doesn't mean anything at all. We ought to view ourselves as stewards of everything that is placed into our hands to be good stewards over.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, I'm going to ask you, if you would, for the benefit of our listeners, you and I both are familiar with it, turn to Malachi, the third chapter, and read for us, for our listeners' edification, Malachi 3, 8, 9, and 10. And here God gives a picture of a people that's rebelling against him. He Amen. Says the tithe is to go to the place of worship. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully before Pastor Davis reads those verses. Perhaps you've heard a preacher standing in the pulpit saying, we ought not to tithe. We ought not to use Malachi 3, 8 through 10 as the premise for tithing, because that's under the law. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot bifurcate the scripture. It's almost like Andy Stanley saying, Pastor Andy Stanley, North Point Church in Atlanta, saying that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament, saying that the Ten Commandments are not for the church and for the Christian today. Saying that we ought to believe scripture rather than scripture when it comes to how we originated, where we came from. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Word of God is, if Jesus Christ is God, and if Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God, if Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 comes from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he's God.
Amen.
And so we cannot discount, bifurcate, and say we just take part out. Now, yes, in the context, God was speaking to the the people in Israel. He was speaking to those that were robbing him. In fact, as you study the book of Malachi, people wanted to get paid for even opening the doors of the temple. They wanted to get paid for sweeping the floor in the church house, as we'd call it today.
My.
Pastor, read those verses, and then you and I will talk about it for a moment and ask Greg to have dialogue with us.
Amen. Malachi 3, starting at verse 8, ask the question. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Amen. Pastor, what does that say to you, and what do our listeners need to understand about that text?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's what I'm getting from that. When we look at verse 8, God asked a question and then turned around and answered it so that we wouldn't come up with all kinds of excuses like we're doing today.
That's right.
Because he said, will a man rob God? Now, some people are so dishonest until they'll go around all kind of loopholes, jump the ditch,
right.
or go around the building, go turn the corner, mm-hmm. do all kind of things to keep from answering the question directly. So God provided the answer. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Then he said, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He answered it,
right.
in tithes and offerings. Now he said, ye are cursed with a curse. Now let me tell you something. That's a terrible place to be in.
That's right.
Because the Bible tells me whom God curses, no man can bless. Mm-hmm. And whom God blesses, no man can curse. I don't know about any of you out there, but I wouldn't want to be under a curse.
That's right.
But he's telling us, if we rob him in tithes and offerings, we are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, that's a fearful thing. When I think about the whole United States right now, where we used to be a few years back, Dr. Youngblood, we were sending missionaries out to other countries to evangelize them in the word of God.
Right.
Now it looks like they're going to have to send missionaries back to us.
That's right.
To remind us where we mm-hmm. have come from.
Right.
It's a fearful thing. We are robbing God.
Absolutely. And Pastor, one of the things, and Greg didn't respond to that, where should we bring the tithes and offerings?
Amen.
And that text says, bring you all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse.
Amen.
Greg, what does that mean?
Amen. That's the church.
That's the church.
Amen. The church is the storehouse. And he's telling you why he wants you to bring the tithes there. He says, so that there can be meat in mine house. Amen.
Provision.
The meat, amen. Praise God. Amen. Is a blessing to every believer.
That's right.
Your blessings come in the form of your needs.
Yes.
And if you need something, amen, you should be able to go to the church. Now, understand this, and another deacon and I talk about this all the time. If you don't put anything in, you can't get nothing out.
That's right.
Yet and still, God loves so much today because we are under grace and mercy. To even if you don't give, he still gives you anyhow.
That's right.
Amen. So you still have something you can get from him. But he'd rather for you to do it the correct way as prescribed in his word.
Yes.
Amen.
Greg, if we're to bring it into the storehouse, what about those that say, well, let me just set the stage. Many years ago, I had an individual that was not tithing, and yet he wanted to bellyache, gripe, and complain about everything that was done in the church. Sat down and have a conference with him, with one of the deacons, and I had gone to him and talked about his sowing seed of discord in the body of Christ. And I said, by the way, you don't even tithe. Oh, yes, I do. I said, well, according to the church treasury, you don't. We've never seen anything. He said, well, I send some to Oral Roberts. I send some to Billy Graham. I send some to my mother. And he gives a whole litany of those that he sends his money to. Should that be considered tithing?
That's charity, but that's not tithing. When you're giving to folks, providing for folks in need, that's great, good, well, and wonderful, but let's not call it the tithe because that's not the storehouse. Nonetheless, it is interesting. He brings up Oral Roberts. A lot of folks that are against tithing or say the preachers all the time preaching on tithing, they'll point to all these folks that are merchandising the gospel, these folks that are on TV, and many of them, all it is about is the numbers, nickels, and noses, the dollars that are poured into the treasuries. And that's a level of evil. When I say a level of evil, I can only think of the story of Hophni and Phinehas as priests in the Old Testament and how they would offend believers, God-fearers, in the midst of dipping into the trough and basically making an obscene act out of giving. And
right.
It cost them. It cost them their lives, and because their father, Eli, refused to correct them, it cost him his life. So mm-hmm. for any of those out there that are concerned, I'll let you know God is a just God, and these things have a way of balancing themselves out. But do certainly seek out a church in which you're being fed the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring your tithes into that storehouse so that there can be meat. that meet the form of light, that meet the form of air conditioning and soft chairs, and the pastor ought to be compensated. Now, there are pastors I know that don't get compensated. There are pastors that literally they're the opposite end of a, you know, there are hirelings out there that as soon as the paycheck is cut or even talked about, you know, we can't afford all this, they hit the road. And others that are willing to serve sacrificially. I think we see that model with Paul in the scripture, church by church by church. He's bivocational. He wanted to make sure he wasn't a burden anywhere he went. But you know, that you have that model, but also the charge that the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, a double portion, ought to be given them. There ought to be care, for the pastors and teachers and leaders. But the demands ought not to be there. Matter of fact, we talk about a fellow that was leading in ministry and figured he ought to get a fat salary and get a Cadillac. You know, mm-hmm. It was a demand on his part, and that is a hireling. And when you have those sort of demands, understand that God does mete out justice, and a higher standard is placed on that pastor, on that teacher.
Pastor Davis, let me jump to you for a moment. Just because there are some pastors that are not frugal in what they do in the ministry of the church and seeing the benefit of the church, because we have some that's all they think about is money, and live very lavishly and yet expect the church to tithe. Just because there is an inappropriate and appropriate manner in which some live, does that mean that the Christian ought not to tithe continually? And I'm saying that because you find so much in the churches today where many pastors preach simply because of the dollars.
Amen.
I know some that they will not consider a small church. They call it this little smaller issue, the smaller thing. They're not interested in. Many will look at it on the basis of, I call it the numbers, nickels, and noses, rather than a sacrificial service. In fact, the scripture is very clear. It's required of a steward to be found faithful. Just because of some that are living wrong, because some that focus on ministry just as money, should Christians discontinue or say they're going to use that as an excuse not to tithe?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think we should all obey God, regardless to what the pastor or the leader is doing.
Yes.
But if that's not good ground, then find you some good ground.
Yes.
Well, let me just say, move your membership to a church where the true word of God is being preached,
Amen.
Taught, and lived.
Amen.
Then you can sow seed into good ground, because the tithe is also considered as a seed as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's when I look back at Abraham, he taught his boys well.
Right.
Even going back to the book of Genesis, chapter 26, when Isaac went over into the land, the Bible tells us, amen, in Genesis 26, amen, that Isaac sowed, amen, into the land that year. And it says here, Genesis chapter 26, 12, then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Amen. He sowed into the land. Okay, now that wasn't money.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I mean, the Bible not telling us exclusively what he sowed in the land, but I'm taking that as seed. Yeah. Whatever that seed was, amen, he sowed it into the land. Amen. And he, amen, became blessed by God. Then when we go over into the book of Genesis chapter 28, amen. I also went over there, and I marked the scripture over there. Amen. And it talked about, amen, Jacob. Amen. And it said, amen, let me get back to it again. Genesis chapter 28. Amen. Verse 20 through 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. So now we have Jacob, amen, vowing a vow, giving tithes back to God, amen, because he was grateful for what God had done to him, but he sold it into good land. Amen. So sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to find, amen, good ground to sow that seed into in order to be, amen, blessed by God and receive something fully in return.
And one of the things that is dangerous, Greg, I'm looking at an article that says 58% of evangelical leaders reject tithing. The survey of the National Association of Evangelicals. The article reads, most evangelical leaders encourage their church members to tithe, yet most don't even believe that the Bible requires it of Christians, according to the survey results released today. The evangelical leaders survey found 58% believe the Bible doesn't require tithing, which means giving at least 10% of one's income to the church, and 42% do think the tithing is required. However, this article reads, 95% of those included in the poll indicated they give at least 10%. And so the point that I want to make with that is there are a lot of folks that believe, because, and it goes back to the false doctrine, false teachers, false preachers that are misconstruing the Word of God. And I want Greg to respond, and perhaps if we have a listener that's interested to respond. How will the church operate? How will the church pay the power bills, the salaries? How will the church pay for the overhead, the upkeep? How will the church pay for the purchase of the properties where we have facilities and buildings that's called the church if it were not for the giving, abundant giving, out of the abundance of what God has given to them? Multitudes of Christians today will give $2 to God. They want to give just a little bit to salve their conscience and not really being obedient to the Scripture. Tithing is biblical.
Amen.
If a Christian is not tithing, he is out of the will of God and he's robbing God. Greg, how do you respond to those statements?
Well, the Scripture calls for the first fruits. And essentially, you know, you don't put God or ministry at the back of the bus. Or the God of the leftovers, as some have called it. You know, if I've got some left over, I'll drop it in the plate kind of thing. The reality is there's a responsibility there. And, you know, that church house has been, it's been perverted by many. They literally think it's a place that that ought to be just a straight community service organization. Matter of fact, a lot of churches are turned into that. They're just another club, just another community service organization, rather than they're in ministering, discipling in the Word, leading those to Christ and discipling them in the Word to be obedient. And if there's not a lordship involved in salvation, then there's probably not a real salvation. If it's just I got my fire insurance policy, you know, that doesn't play out. And everything the Lord does, as much as He is sovereign God, He is in control, He uses men and women, boys and girls, to accomplish His will. Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, and he shared the message. God used that instrument. You know, Esther was there in the salvation of her people, but Jesus, God used Esther in the midst of that. God used Moses. Could He have done all this without us? Yes. But does He choose men and women, boys and girls, to accomplish His will? Yes. And this is part of His will. As much as we've seen in the past year, a lot of churches hollowed out by this Wuhan flu, I'm thankful that in the midst of my little church body, the numbers have dwindled, but the resources have remained the same. The Lord has continued to bless, and those that are faithful continue to give and continue to provide. I'm thankful for that, and it seems like the Lord does work through those people faithfully and truly.
Here's an article, Greg, that I will touch on, and then we're going to turn after that to 1 Corinthians 16 and talk about that for the wrap-up of the broadcast today. This article says, what does the Bible say about Christian tithing? Answer, this writer says, many Christians struggle with the issue of tithing. In some churches, giving is overemphasized. At the same time, many Christians refuse to submit to the biblical exhortation about making offerings to the Lord. Tithing, giving to the Lord, is intended to be a joy and a blessing, but sadly, that is sometimes not the case in churches across America today. End quote. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as the Lord hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
Amen.
And it's talking about giving to the local New Testament church. Pastor Davis, I use that to do in the from teaching in the pulpit, an outline that I just simply talk about tithing. It's planned, it's personal, it's prepared, it's proportionate, it's purposed, it's privileged, and it has a promise.
Amen.
I want to cover those things in these last few minutes.
Amen. And you know, Dr. Youngblood, I'm so glad that you said what you said just now. And Brother Greg, I'm thankful for what he said about the first fruits.
That's right.
Because Christians are confused about that. They think, I've talked to some people before, Dr. Youngblood, and they told me, well, I had some tithes set aside to give to the church this week, but I'm only going to pay a part of them. There is no such a thing as paying a part of your tithes.
That's right. A tithe is not 2%, not 5%, it's 10%.
Amen. Amen. You otherwise have to give
stealing,
the
otherwise,
tenth.
You're stealing God's money.
Amen. Amen. And that means give him 10 cents out of every dollar. Yes. Now, let me say this, and you can take it right back. Ahead. He promises if you give him a dime out of your dollar, he will do more with that dime than you can do with 90 cents.
That's right.
That's a mighty good return.
Absolutely.
Amen.
In fact, I've used the illustration, if somebody puts you in business, say, I'm going to build a building, I'm going to put the stock on the shelves, I'm going to put the change in the cash register, all you need to do is come in and run it, and you get 90% and I get 10%.
Amen.
That's a pretty good deal.
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Given us life, breath, health, and the ability and the wisdom to use that ability that he's given us, and he says, all I want back, he says, it all belongs to me, but all I want back, is that 10%?
One dime.
That one dime. That one dime.
Amen.
Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast. Take the time to wrap that up for us.
I think of the life of R.G. Letourneau, and he was an inventor, engineer, businessman, very wealthy man. Now, he fell flat of his face in business and kind of reanalyzed his life and business and dedicated that, Lord, if you will open these doors, I will be faithful. And the doors were opened, and he tithed. And over the course of his life, that tithe and those offerings grew and grew to the point at the end of his life, he was giving 90% of that which he made. And he still passed on an estate worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So be faithful and let the Lord be faithful back to you.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Greg, thank you for joining us. Pastor Davis, thank you for joining us.
Amen.
Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.